I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A texter was asking, what sort of prices are we discussing? I'll read right from Chris Riemenschneider's story for Taylor Swift. $87 to $153 for nosebleed seats. How would you feel, Adam?
No chance.
You and the three girls, way up there.
With what I've known now, after experiencing shows there, I'd be like, no.
$450. Then the higher end ones, $447 to $800.
Oh, yeah. $800 ticket.
Man. Seems fair. Seems reasonable. Okay. About a month ago or so, I got off my butt and started exercising a little more. Not like I'm there 7 days a week and I should be there more often, but just getting motivated a little bit, and I hope I stay with it. So it really had nothing to do with the new year. But I was there last night, and I think we can have some fun with this. Health club observations, not just from the three of us, but from our texters. Playing politics at 1:35, and we'll get back to the president and stir it back up that way at 2:35. So last night I'm there, and I had an itch on a kind of left shoulder blade, Carter, and I could not get to it, and it was driving me nuts. How do you think it would have been received if I just went up to somebody and say, hey, this isn't being creepy or anything, but I've got this itch. Will you help me out? What do you think the reaction would have been?
Not good.
Not good. Lindsay, you had a bad scratch, middle of the shoulder. You are one of the most honest people I've ever met in the entirety of my life.
I would never go up to someone and
never
ask them
go up to a stranger.
Plus, you're in the gym.
There's so many
ample
things for
opportunities
you
to scratch your back on.
What is it? The Jungle Book, where he scratches the ants off on the tree? Just go up to one of the equipments.
Yeah.
Get your scratch on.
How would that look, also, Adam? You look over and there's this guy who's just repeatedly rubbing his back.
He's got an itch. He's taking care of it.
He's got an itch.
Are you kidding? Of all the things that happen in the gym, that is actually like one of the least weird.
It depends where the itch is, right? I mean,
yes.
Family show, Adam.
Yes.
Remember, there are 2-year-olds listening.
No, it's an adult show. Let's emphasize again.
Well, you could pull a shoe off, and if somebody's scratching their foot on something, that's kind of disgusting.
I'm sure that's what you meant. There's no doubt about it. In a steam room, for the first time in years.
Love the steam room.
And years and years. Now, some of this is probably my claustrophobia a little bit. But I go in there, and there's not the typical Russians in there. But there were about 5 guys. Couldn't see any of them.
Right.
And I don't know, am I perspiring in there? What am I doing all of a sudden when there's moisture on me? Is that just the condensation for what's going on?
Oh, you're sweating.
Calm down over there, you sick person. That's Lindsay. Is that really sweating? Are you sure?
Yes.
Lindsay, you sure that's what that is?
So you were in the steam room, not
steam
the
room.
Sauna.
Not the sauna, the steam.
I think the steam room is much hotter than a sauna.
I don't know.
I think you're definitely sweating in the sauna.
You know what I do, and it's a genius trick?
Yeah.
When you've left your gym
bag. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you've left your gym bag in your car all day.
Oh.
Walk straight from your car right into the sauna, pull out your gym stuff, and just sit for like a minute.
Oh, that's a faux pas.
What?
Yeah, you can't bring your shoes into the sauna.
Oh, the sauna at ours is co-ed, so you're wearing clothes.
No.
And you're wearing shoes.
Oh, okay.
It's not. There's a steam room that is gender-based, and then there is a sauna that's open, and everyone kind of wears their shoes in.
Should we have, because it's the Plymouth Lifetime where we're at. Should it be a combined steam room?
Most of them aren't. most of the Lifetimes aren't. They have separate for each one.
Is that because it's smoky and we're worried about somebody acting inappropriate?
No, I think it's because most people go in there unclothed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, most people go in a lot of saunas unclothed, too.
That's why I'm saying the sauna at Plymouth is the rarity for Lifetimes. Most of them have one in each locker room. The issue is they don't have enough space. And I learned the reason that our gym has a bigger pool is because it shares with Wayzata. So it's that we have all that space is not common for
the
other gyms.
It's the high school and a ton of events there. So, I get there's some perspiration. Do you think you start perspiring right away? Because I'm in there and I'm not like you. I can't imagine what you look like in a steam room. You must look like a shower is coming off.
I usually go in there after working
out
too.
Yeah.
Show trip. I'm now curious.
Yeah. Does Adam look like a waterfall if he's
I look like a waterfall after I'm working out.
I know, but I'm saying inside the steam room, you're like Minnehaha Falls. That's what we're going to do, going to the lake. Around you in the steam room. Now, do you like, if you had to pick one or the other, steam or sauna?
Steam room, I don't go, I haven't been a member of Lifetime for probably 10 years, but that's the thing I miss about
with
it.
With the eucalyptus?
Oh,
it was so
the
good.
Steam room
good.
And the feeling of coming out of the steam room.
Oh, I did feel very, very good.
Cold air hits you.
And then I slept 11 minutes last night. Okay, so we don't fall too far behind. More health club, workout facility, observations. I'm sure Adam and Lindsay have plenty. I've got more. All right, Adam, we've had this debate before, and a lot of the folks, they get very upset about this. They think because in Finland, where it was invented, it's sauna. What is it? How do we say it?
Sauna.
Sauna.
I agree.
No.
Sauna. That's my health club irritation.
That is, it's sauna.
It's called sauna.
No. Lindsay, do you go on the
can
sauna?
Can it be both?
Well, yeah, in Finland it is. It's sauna.
I say sauna.
Yes.
But I know people who say sauna. I don't say it enough that I actually really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of words which are pronounced differently in different countries. I got to be honest, until we had this controversy like a couple of years ago, I'd never heard of this sauna situation. So you literally will say to people, Carter, let's go in the sauna. You don't. Lindsay, are you buying that he says this guy over here?
I'm Scandinavian. Why wouldn't I?
Because you're you. I mean, I just don't think you're saying that sauna.
I will say, though, in our house hunting.
Yeah.
We each have had, John one day was like, wouldn't it be great if we got a house with a sauna in it? And I was like, I'm sorry, do you know how much money we make? And then, of course, one house we looked at had a sauna. And I had to be like, the house was a dump, but it had a sauna in the basement. And I had to lay down some lady smack.
What bonus would you like to have? What realistic bonus would you like to have in the new Gensel mansion?
Oh, like a bone. I just want a dining room.
Well, that's okay. Yes.
Well, no.
Wow.
A toilet would be great.
No.
I mean,
where we're looking, a lot of the homes don't have dining rooms.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like a kitchen with a little area for a table, and I want an actual dining room because I have a beautiful buffet I'd like to set up, and so I want a dining room. I want a specific laundry room because right now our laundry is in our kitchen, and it drives me mad.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I want hardwood floors. If we have to put them in, fine. If we have to pull up carpet and refinish them, but I'm a hardwood floors kind of gal.
What? Give it.
This is dictionary.com.
Thank you. God, it's vindicated. Yeah. Thank you. Take that, you Finnish upset people. I mean, the Scandinavian sauna. That's thank you. I mean, I've always viewed dictionary.com as the last word. When we're in Finland doing the show, then we'll say sauna. Right now, it's sauna.
Well, it's like New Prague. It's supposed to be New Prague.
Yeah.
And only the very old people, my father included in that group, say New Prague.
There was a guy last night at the health club. A nice Christmas sweater. They weren't jeans. They were slacks. Tennis shoes. And he's on the... He's on the treadmill.
Walking, right?
Nope.
Running?
Yes.
In jeans?
No, more slacks.
Oh, slacks.
Maybe he left his gym bag at home.
Yeah.
And he's committed. He's committed. That's commitment.
Did he at least have running shoes on?
He had tennis shoes on. Yeah. I didn't. But I mean, it was a thick winter Minnesota
maybe he's
sweater.
Dropping weight. Maybe
yeah.
Like wrestlers do that, you know?
I dated a lot of wrestlers in high school, and it was so obnoxious. Yes. High school wrestlers. La-di-da. No, but they would not eat for like 3 days.
Did you nibble on their cauliflower ears?
Yeah. Did they ever?
That is so disgusting.
Did they ever?
That is so gross.
Did they ever pick you up wearing the singlet?
pick me up like a car?
Did they ever want to grapple with you?
Oh, I shouldn't have even said anything.
Did they ring the bell? I mean, okay. So
I was a wrestling cheerleader. Remember? Laura Oaks and I.
Mats. Tap the mat.
So what do you say? What if you're... But what do you... Okay, you cups?
Pin
you're,
him.
You're addict? Pin I mean,
him.
Pin him. Pin him. Look at that ear.
Beat him, bust him, bust him. Beat him, bust him. That's our custom. I don't know. That wasn't one of them. That's...
So, Carter, are you that committed to working out? If you show up...
No.
Sweater, slacks... And maybe you're a guy who wears tennis shoes.
No. Sadly, where I'm at in my life, too, now is like, oh, shoot, I forgot my shoes. Oh,
go home?
Gotta go home.
Can I circle back to the, not to the sauna, but back to the steam room? I guess maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong, too. Steam room.
It's pronounced Igor.
I mean, there's some about it, too, that just throws me off. It's all smoky in there. I just have this weird feeling that all of a sudden I'm going to be in there by myself and I'm going to be trying to open up the door and the door is locked. And this is the way it's going to end for me. I'm going to melt right in the friend of the sauna.
As soon as the sauna or the steam door closes, I'm convinced I've been locked in.
Yeah. I think that says a lot about the two of us and how strange we are. My husband fell in the sauna in Finland and broke his ribs. Ooh, LOL. I don't know if it was LOL for him. I got
LOL, Larry.
I don't think it was. About the various people are upset with the name. Who bleeping cares? Lindsay, you're at the club a lot. Give me a couple health club observations that kind of annoy you. Yes, I'm chuckling in the last one too.
The men who wear the T-shirts that are cut, yeah. And then their
pecs.
Can I say nipples hang out?
Yeah.
Their nipples hang out.
Yeah.
And it's there seems to be a certain type of man who wears it.
What man?
Bro.
A bro.
Bro.
Like a Jersey Shore type
Jersey
bro.
Shore.
And
Jersey
they
Shore.
They
lots
look in the mirror and they make
it. So it's got the sleeves cut too? I mean, there's no sleeves, right?
So it's like they take a T-shirt and they cut off the sleeves, which is fine. We've all worn like a cut-off T-shirt. But
Adam
they
does.
Cut theirs.
They open down to like their.
They open it.
Below
they
the rib
cut
cage.
It super far so
right.
That everything hangs out. And then they typically stand in front of the mirror.
Check themselves
those,
out.
What are the Beats by Dre?
Yeah, they
those
all have
big,
big
old headphones.
Headphones.
They don't use earbuds.
Oh, yeah,
they
the
use...
big headphones. You're right. Those
mm-hmm.
are, you know, those would last about a week with me.
I was going to say.
I'd sweat so badly that they would be ruined in a week.
Would you want to wear the jumbo
no,
headphones?
Because
you're right. When you put that out, there were tons of guys last night who went with that.
And I hate people who throw the weights. I get it. You're lifting something really heavy.
Dropping weights.
You don't get extra points for dropping it and making big noises.
Well, they make the big noise now with the headphones. Now they really are making the big noises.
I will say this, too. Like, in the new year, the gym rats get so territorial about new people coming in.
Oh, they get mad, you know.
And they make such rude comments. You, at one point, were all starting at a start point as well. You know, like, let's please shame people for wanting to get healthier, wanting to start a new habit. I get it makes your life a little bit more difficult, but come on. The hypocrisy of those people who make those comments about how busy the gym is in January, and then they're the same people that mock how fat America is becoming. It's like you can't have it both ways.
I don't go nearly as much as I should, but when I go back, I swear there's like 10 people. It doesn't matter what time of the day. They are there. I mean, so more power to them for the dedication. But I get the feeling they're there. That's where they hang out. They just want to be there for like 8 hours.
Yeah, borders on obsession with some people.
I think it does.
Oh, yeah.
I don't,
or like if you haven't been for a while, months or, you know, maybe a couple years, and you go back and those same people are still there.
So you're at your, are you still doing the boxing stuff? Or?
I want to get back into it because yeah. I was able to, because now, it's a long story, but the hour is changing at night.
Okay.
That I wasn't able to go, but that is such a great gym. And every time I go there, it's Minnesota Top Team in Eagan.
Yep.
They do, it's not only boxing, they have CrossFit and jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu. But every time I go, I mean, it's such a great feeling
yeah.
that I have to get back.
Do you do any box jumping there?
I have done box jumping yeah. there.
Lindsay, are you ready to take on your demon?
Do it again?
Want to take on the table?
No,
again?
My legs are finally recovering from my box jumping days.
All right. Well, one more small segment on this, then we'll get to plain politics with John Rash and Lori Sturtevant from the Star Tribune. Available to you, StarTribune.com. We'll play a portion of that, starting at about 1:35 or so. Among the texts coming in, I'm in yoga this morning. It's packed. Guy takes off his socks, puts them right in front of my mat, so I have to smell them. What do you do about bad body odors?
Oh, man, that's tough.
That's a tough one, right?
Oof. Well, a lot of it, you know, people... It's like that or the guy or, yeah, it's usually the guy, I can say it, with the cotton T-shirt that's their gym T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And it was white at one point. Now it's
disgusting.
A horrible color of yellow.
Yeah.
And time to get a new gym shirt.
Mix in this other concept. It's called a washing machine. You can wash this a little bit. I mean, would you – ever feel it's appropriate, Lindsay? You're working in the same general area with somebody. So it's not just a brief time, and this particular individual smells awful, right? And sometimes it's too much cologne, right? Because there are people who go way too far that way. Would you ever speak up and say it?
No. In fact, there's someone in my daily life from work who wears too much cologne and is a close talker. And there have been times where I've walked away where his cologne is now all I can smell.
Yeah.
And so I've come up with, like, ways to stay.
Not so close?
Not so close. Because it happened a couple of times. And when you smell, like, that Axe body spray smell all day, it's not fun for anyone.
That's your go-to now, isn't it, Adam? Axe? Didn't you say you were going to?
High karate.
High karate. The way to go.
Is there a cologne called High
Karate?
There must be.
It was in a movie, right? I think something like that. What percentage of revenue for the year do clubs make this time with folks motivated to go?
Well, the sign-up fees they incur?
Well, most of the time they...
Waive the
signing fees, but then they get them in the, oh, hey, you're new at the club. Let's get you signed up for private training, or do you want to do Pilates, or, you know, we're doing this deal right now where if you sign up, we're going to give you a free massage or free money to use at the club.
Do they do a little bit of this where there's no initiation, but you have to commit to a certain amount of time so they know they can get you a little bit, or can they do that now? Because there's so many different places.
I don't – when I signed up my
contract,
I didn't have to pay a joiner's fee.
Okay.
But I also didn't have a time frame.
Okay.
But I signed up on a friends and family deal, so maybe it was different. But I know, like, when we were members at Snap,
yep.
to get the lower price, we had to commit to a year.
Okay.
So for some of those where it's
– Are the smaller places like that – doing well? Now, you have plenty of the boutique places where you maybe it's biking or it's some form of Pilates or some different type. But what was the other? Snap, and wasn't there another?
Anytime.
And then there's
right.
like 24-hour fitness yep. and Planet Fitness and
Planet Fitness.
LA Fitness.
Yep.
And-
but Planet Fitness is smaller. LA Fitness is similar to Lifetime.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So there are...
I'm just wondering how the small ones are, where you have the key And then you can, it's open.
You still put them everywhere.
I have a family member who owns one, and they're doing incredibly well in a small town because it's the only option. I would say in those situations, people who, you know, they just want a treadmill, they just want weights, they want a place to be able to go, it's doing really well. I would say, honestly, the boutique places are the ones that are getting people in the door. The Alchemy Fitnesses, those are kind of like CrossFit style, cycle bars. There's this one called like Soul Cycle?
Soul Cycle's big out east.
And then there's this other one, I can't remember what it's called, but you use like these Pilates machines.
Well, there's one by us, I forget what it's called, but that's like a more vigorous Pilates, you know? There's so many places. I mean, how you stand out and how you get to a point where when you know it's going to be fickle and there are people in and out, I mean, good luck to all of you. 32 past one, traffic, weather, news, plain politics. We're going to play the part, which is the local part. We spent a fair amount of time, the first 30 minutes, talking about the president's tweet and some strong opinions about that. I am going to get back to that because I think it's a big enough story and include you in the mix, not just texters, but if you want to call. That's in about an hour, but playing politics a lot on Tina Smith in about 5 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. Once again, it's time for Playing Politics, this partnership between the Star Tribune editorial board and WCCO Radio. John Rash and Lori Sturdivant from the Star Tribune editorial board are here. Chad Hartman from WCCO Radio. Lori, let's start with you, and let's start with Tina Smith swearing in today. She is now a U.S. senator. What is your view just on her comments the last few days, including the paper leading up to this? Just kind of amazing few weeks, and how she is now no longer the lieutenant governor, but a senator.
You know, I think she's had a very short but quite positive transition at a very awkward time. She comes with a lot of the people you might think of as part of her base being very disappointed that this turn of events has happened.
Right.
Disappointed and saddened, and so she carries that burden. She also carries the burden of being seen, I think, by some maybe nationally as much as any as in Minnesota as the senator from the Me Too movement, which carries certain baggage. But that's not been what we've heard directly from Tina Smith. We hear her talking about the kinds of issues that I've been hearing a lot from Minnesotans in the last 2 years or so, concern about making the workplace fairer for people, concern about rural broadband development, concern about making sure higher education is affordable for more people so that we can keep our workforce strong. Those are the kinds of issues she's going to be, I think, trying to emphasize in Washington. And to the extent she can, I think that she will serve this state pretty well.
John, you normally have 6 years to show the public, this is who I am. This is how I'll be responsive. This is how I'll fill in the blank. There's just hundreds of ways. She has 10 months. I mean, she's going to have an election in 10 months. This so rarely happens. How do you expect her to demonstrate to Minnesotans that I should be your senator for the next, because then it would be two more years before there's another election?
Regardless of anyone's political perspective, those who have interacted with Lieutenant Governor, now Senator Smith, realizes that she is a quietly confident, highly competent individual. And so in terms of getting to the United States Senate and having a sense of how to proceed, how to work with her new Senate colleagues, I think that she'll be quite impressive on the national and certainly the state stage here. I think that there won't be a long trail of votes, and the votes that she does take will probably most likely reflect the senior senator who will also be on the ballot, Amy Klobuchar, and the way that the Democrats feel about the issues of the day happening in Congress. I think that it's a double-edged sword, however, in that, you know, yes, she only has 10 months to impress the electorate, but she will be running as an incumbent, and there's a much shorter time for a potential DFL challenger.
Yep.
So if you look at the history of the DFL party, where they often have intra-party challenges, Republicans certainly do as well, to have a challenge now, a Democrat would have to come forward before the caucuses, which take place still in just a couple of months here, and in effect say, here's why I think I would be a more effective United States senator than Senator Smith, and there will be so little to judge on.
When we don't know who Senator Smith is as a senator.
Right, and the relative honeymoon, particularly among DFLers will be considered still so strong that my sense is that she won't have a significant challenge in terms of from the DFL party. She'll, of course, have a Republican Party opponent on the eventual ballot, but, you know, you're in a more powerful position as a sitting United States senator than if, as an example, she wanted to run for the office as lieutenant governor.
Let's bring up another prominent female politician in the state of Minnesota, because Michelle Bachmann was on with Jim Baker.
Yes, I have
to admit, I didn't even know Jim Baker was still with us.
I didn't know either.
Good to know that Jim is with us. And she said that she's considering this. That people have talked to her. She's waiting for a message from God. What is your sense on Michelle Bachmann if she's going to run and how she would fit into the mix?
She certainly appeals to that evangelical part of the Republican Party, yep, which 20 years ago was maybe having its peak in this state and has been, it's still a prominent force in the Republican Party, but I would submit not as powerful as it had been. And I think her appeal outside that base is fairly limited. Remember, she represented the old 6th, the pre-redistricting 6th district, which was sort of, if Minnesota has a Bible Belt, that's it.
Yep.
She has never been tested as a statewide candidate, and I'm not sure that she would do very well as a statewide candidate. And we did have the situation where, for a while in 2011, former Governor Tim Pawlenty and Michelle Bachmann, mm-hmm, were both running for president, and neither got very far.
Yep.
But
she went further, though.
She went a little further, but by the time the Iowa caucuses arrived, she was also done and out. So she doesn't have, I think, a really strong position, but she certainly has name recognition. And in this environment, with what has become a kind of a short campaign, we didn't used to think that a year was a short campaign for the U.S. Senate, but now we do, and that's a kind of a short campaign for someone to gain traction. It's a difficult thing for a state legislator, for example. Karen Housley is in the running.
Stepped
in. Housley is a well-known name in the circles that Chad, some of you sometimes travel and drive to as a hockey fan. But it takes some considerable stretch for someone who isn't well-known right now to try to run for the U.S. Senate.
John, as a talk show host who's given my opinion on Michelle Bachmann many times, I hope she enters. She moves the needle. Lover or hater, she draws attention. Her life seems to be pretty good. I'm sure she's very popular on the public speaking circuit. Does she really want to jump in at this point?
I'm sure she'd like to be a United States senator.
Yeah.
And the very fact that former Governor Pawlenty, who is reportedly making, you know, more than $2 million in his job as a lobbyist in the financial services industry, you know, is considering this, shows how strong a sense that some people think that they have a call to serve, a call to be in just one of 100 United States senators. But the very fact that you just mentioned, as a talk show host, and, you know, we've joked at the editorial board, our cartoonist Steve Sack may be the other proponent of Representative Bachmann jumping back
into
the race here.
I was yesterday saying, please do this.
You know, but she would become the issue, and the Republicans may not want that, particularly as the factors that my colleague Lori just mentioned in terms of her never having been tested statewide and probably performing poorly statewide. And I think to go full circle, as you began this aspect of our conversation today, and the fact that she was on the Jim Baker show and people weren't really even aware that Jim Baker still had a radio show, she has not been as nationally relevant as was anticipated. Mm-hmm. When she ran for president, it looked like she might go to Fox News or, you know, kind of take a similar role that Governor Palin did when she ran for vice president on the ticket with Senator McCain. But she has really faded into national obscurity, and so she may not have the strong fundraising base that might have been assumed just a year or two ago if she would have remained quite prominent across the country.
Lori, let me ask you this. In the next, we're sitting here early in January. By the time it's March 1st, will Michelle Fischbach be lieutenant governor and the leader of the Senate, or will this be resolved by them?
Oh, I think that this is one that the Supreme Court is going to have to take on. So March 1st is probably about when we may hear from the court. These things take about that long, it seems to me. So about 2 months from now would be my best guess about when we might have a determination. the attorneys at the Attorney General's office signed their names to an opinion that says that their read of the state constitution is one cannot be in both the legislative and the executive branch in this way. As of this moment, we do have Lieutenant Governor Michelle Fischbach. She would have to resign that post, and it's not clear whether by assuming that post even for a few hours, has she already legally forfeited her Senate seat? That's the question that the court is going to have to say. The courts could say somehow this is still your choice. I suppose there's a legal construction where that could happen. But it is also possible that the courts will say you are Lieutenant Governor now. You have already forfeited your Senate seat. And if you want that Senate seat back, you must resign as Lieutenant Governor and run in a special election to get that seat back. That's how it could go. And we are in one of the people I spoke with yesterday about this called this a bizarro gray area that we have entered with regard to the status of...
In other words, normal Minnesota politics.
That's right, yeah. The status of Michelle Fischbach will keep us talking for at least a few more weeks. Let's put it that way.
What do you think, John?
That there was a perfectly reasonable compromise that was floated with legislative leaders, and that it's a shame that that didn't transpire, actually. Yep. I think this is the type of thing, as you just said so aptly, Chad, typical Minnesota politics that people may say with disdain in terms of how they see this state that is supposedly the best run in the country, according to a recent Wall Street website, not performing the way that it historically has. And as we enter what already was going to be a contentious lame duck legislative session with this the last year of the governor's term, that this is really a poor way to begin as well. So, you know, whether or not there is any last-minute legislative fix to this remains to be seen. It seems unlikely, and it seems, as Lori just described, to be headed for more of a judicial outcome, which most Minnesotans would have wanted to avoid.
Okay, more of plain politics is available to you. We spent the next 10 minutes talking about various versions of what's taking place with the president, including the tweet from last night, which we discussed a lot in the first hour. We'll get back to here in the third hour. And we talked about what we knew at the time about what Steve Bannon had to say in this upcoming book, where there were interviews with 200 some individuals. I just was looking while that was played, and I read a portion of the New York Magazine excerpt of the book. It is not flattering to the president. Let's just put it that way. It's Michael Wolff was given all this access to a lot of people, and it's a lot of the perspective of Bannon. It's a lot of Rupert Murdoch. It is a lot of Roger Ailes. It is a lot of Ivanka. It is a lot of Jared. And again, it is not complimentary towards the president. The president, well aware of this, responded, if you missed it early in the day, this is part of the statement from the president. I think most of us think this is literally written by the president. Steve Bannon had nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Steve was a staffer, worked for me after he'd already won the nomination by defeating 17 candidates, often described as the most talented field ever assembled in the Republican Party. No one said that. Now that he's on his own, Steve is learning that winning isn't as easy as I make it look. Steve had very little to do with our historic victory, which was delivered by the forgotten men and women of the country. Yet Steve had everything to do with the loss of the Senate seat in Alabama held for more than 30 years by Republicans. Steve does not represent my base. He's only in it for himself. Steve pretends to be at war with the media, which he calls the opposition party, yet he spent his time at the White House leaking false information to the media to make himself seem far more important than he was. It's the only thing he does well. Steve was rarely in one-on-one meetings with me and only pretends to have influence to a few people, no access, no clue, whom we help write. And there's more. So the president responding to Bannon's role in this book and going after him strong. We'll get back to the North Korea part of the story at 2:35. Remind you right now, it is 1:52. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to create a more energy-efficient home with Season Guard windows. We'll obviously get to CBS at the top of the hour and many other topics leading up to Paul and Jordana. Paul and Jordana start a little past 3 on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.